There's a lot that Mother Church gives us in the readings this morning. In the gospel that we had, it follows from what we heard last week. And we're in this section of Luke's gospel where a few weeks back we heard that Jesus has his face resolutely set, determined on his way to Jerusalem, that he's here to accomplish the mission for which he came, answering the call from the Father, and now he's ready to make it come. And last week, if you remember, the story about the man who had this great harvest, didn't know what to do with it, so he said, I'm going to build a bigger barn. And what did God say? You fool, tonight your life will be asked of you. Same theme today. Are you ready for the second coming? Are you ready when the Son of Man comes again? Or are you still holding on? Are you still trying to build a bigger barn? Are you still trying to make your plans for the future come true? Have we allowed these words of Jesus to truly penetrate and change our heart? Are we holding on to what we think is right and true? This is what Christ is presenting to us. And so we ask ourselves, what am I attached to? What's keeping me from saying yes to this life of radical discipleship? Of letting go, selling everything and giving it all away and trusting in God's providence. What is it that's keeping me from doing that? We had this reading, the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, when he was recounting what happened at Pentecost, or at Passover, the first Passover. It says, the night of Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oath in which they put their faith, they might have courage. They might have courage to leave what was comfortable for them and to go out into the desert, not knowing where they were going, trusting that God was going to save them and rescue them and lead them and guide them. The long reading we had from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, recounts Abraham, who we call our father in faith, who was called from a land he knew to a land he knew not, and he walked in faith. And all of Hebrews, chapter 11, recounts the stories of these great figures of the Old Testament and their response to God's call in their life. How faith is an action in our lives. And because these men in the Old Testament said yes to God's invitation, it set the stage for Christ and the church and for each one of us to be here today. They believed. They didn't believe just that God was there and that God was real, but they believed in God. In a few moments when we profess the creed, that's what we're going to say. I believe in one God. I believe in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in the church. Not just that it exists, but I believe in. And if we do the etymology, the looking at the studying of the word of the faith, it has the image of diving into, being immersed into these truths that have been revealed. At our baptism, God gave us the gift of faith. This theological virtue of faith, which allows us to believe those things that have been revealed are true. And what Pope Benedict wrote, he says it's like a light that illuminates the darkness. So like Abraham, who was called to a land he knew not, we too, each day, are called to a land we know not. And it's our faith that gives us the courage, the confidence to walk with Christ. Is this a reality for us? Or do we live in fear? Afraid of what might happen. Afraid of that call of Christ in my life. Afraid to sell everything and to follow Him. Afraid to say yes. So many of us want to predict and control everything. We won't make any action unless we know what's going to happen. We're afraid to commit to anything because we can't guarantee the outcome. We are afraid. But what did Jesus say at the beginning of the gospel? Do not be afraid any longer, little flock. Faith is the answer to our fear. Have you asked for an increase, for a greater outpouring of the gift of faith in your life and in your family's life? Or are you comfortable in mediocrity of just going through, getting by? Could you be like Abraham and leave everything and go somewhere where you have no idea where you're going? Because Abraham didn't have the supernatural gift of faith. He didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us does. We have more than Abraham did, but so many of us do so much less because we allow fear to keep us in prison. Last week, I was having dinner with some friends, and this topic came up, just sharing our conversion stories, our vocational journeys. Before I really met the Lord, when I was just going through the motions, maybe coming to Mass, maybe praying, never going to confession, I lived in fear. I didn't know it at the time, but now that I'm in freedom, I can look back and know that I was dominated by fear, locked in the chains of the opinions of someone else. Praise God that I didn't have social media back there. My life would have been dominated by how many likes and follows and whatever else I would have gotten. It was bad enough then. How many of us are trapped in this opinion of others that dictate the choices that I make or don't make? We've allowed the culture to creep in. But I was living that life of fear. But as I got to know the Lord, as I began to really read the scriptures, as I would go to confession on a regular basis and say no to a life of sin and say yes to a life of grace, the chains in my heart were shattered. And I was able to trust, not knowing. No idea that I would become a priest or a pastor or the vocations director. No idea, but I'm here. And I'm living in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Making mistakes every day, I know. But trusting that the Lord who called me, like he called Abraham, equips us for every day with everything that we need. This is what's given to us, what's offered to each one of us today, every day. Do not be afraid any longer. Allow this great gift of freedom to be yours. Have the boldness, the zealous. Believe that God can do the impossible things in your life and the life of your family. Do you believe this? Because Jesus goes on in this gospel passage today with some pretty harsh words. You know, it's not all flower child and hippie. Sometimes there's a real reckoning. And this is what Christ presents us today. What happens if we don't respond? There's four choices he gives us. If we do respond, we get it all. We get the kingdom. We get the grace. We get to be fed by the Master. If we know the truth and we say no, it says we get treated harshly. In Greek, it says we get cut in half. We get dissected. That's what's going to happen to us. If we know the truth and we say no to it, none of us can plead ignorance. All of us have been presented the truth. How do we respond? Because the gospel finishes, to whom much is given, much is expected. But to whom more is given, more is demanded. As members of the one true church, as Catholics, baptized into the body of Christ, the fullness of revelation, the presence of Christ in our life, we've been given everything. There's nothing that we don't have that we need. Everything that we need to go to heaven and to live a life of joy and grace is ours. That's what he says. Don't be afraid, little flock. Our Father delights in giving you the kingdom. The Father delights in giving you love and joy and peace and boldness and zealous encouragement. He loves to do that. That's why he died and rose, to give you his very life. How have we responded? And a very sad study came out this week. Maybe some of you saw it. About the number of people who come to Mass every week but don't believe in the real presence. They believe that we just have a symbol, a cracker, something sitting in this gold box. They do not believe in the real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ made present on the altar every time Mass is celebrated. 70% of the people who come to Mass, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. That's sad. And we wonder why the world is in a mess, why our families are crumbling. What does St. Paul say about those of us who receive unworthily? If we truly believe in the real presence, how is our life different? Abraham believed that God was calling, and his life changed radically. Mary believed in the words, the promise of the angel. Her life and our life changed radically. If we are receiving Jesus, if he is truly present on the altar, inside of us, what's different about us? Because faith demands action. Would I ever miss Mass? Or a holy day, if I believe Jesus is here? Would I ever miss Mass for any reason, unless I'm sick or it's impossible to come? Would I choose to go on a cruise or vacation and just skip Mass if I believe Jesus is here, the source and summit of all things, the creator of the universe? Would I come late? Would I leave early? Would I dress like I'm going to the beach? Would I come up here and receive my ticket or my cracker or my coupon? Do I believe? You know, if you are doubting, or if you're living in fear and afraid to say yes to Jesus, the secret is right here in confession. This is how we're made free. This is how the chains of the old life get ripped off of our hearts, and we can live in the freedom, the new life that Christ died and rose to give us. It's a true promise. And no one can make that decision for you. You must individually say, yes, Lord. Jesus is coming. Will we be ready?